Welcome to the Friday edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. I believe the Bible-based preaching of our pastor, Dr. Wilton, is going to bless each of us and encourage us as an exclamation point at the end of a wonderful week. Or at least I pray it's been a wonderful week. Whatever week your week has been like, know that we'd love to pray you through it. Our connecting number is 866-899-WORD. 24 hours a day, it'll reach one of us happy to listen, to talk, to pray, maybe connect with resources that'll help you in your growth. 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Now today's message, One of Us, with Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word.
We must pay attention to the things that we are hearing from the Lord, lest at any time we should become drifters. And you and I have been confronted, I really believe so many of us, by the significance of what it is that God's saying to our hearts. And He expounds on that. When we drift, we develop a very light view of sin. Like the preacher who said to the person recently, "You don't really think God minds who you sleep with, do you? Really?" We develop a real loose regard for the greatness of salvation, according to chapter 2 and verse 3. All of a sudden, this unbelievable power, this amazing grace, becomes less and less significant to us. And what becomes more and more important is everything else other than the grace of God in Christ Jesus. When we drift by not paying attention to the things that God is saying to us, we become limited in our understanding of the testimony of God. And just as the Bible says in verse 4 of chapter 2, all of a sudden, the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the movement of the power of the Spirit of the living God becomes less and less relevant to us. And so it is we find in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 that the writer to the Hebrews has a special word to those of us who are called the children of God. And if you want me to summarize it in one statement, it's just simply this. People, Jesus Christ is the ultimate solution to every circumstance and every need. He's the ultimate solution. Listen to what God says. Since, therefore, the children. By the way, isn't that a marvelous statement there? Because what God is saying here to us is that He regards us in a very personal, umbilical light. He looks upon those of us who belong to Him in such an endearing way, just as a parent looks upon the face of a child. And He's got a special word for us. And He says, since therefore you belong to me, because you have a relationship with me, I need you to know something. Since those of you who are in Christ share in flesh and blood, not only are you made of the same stuff, but you are still locked in a battle, engaged in a war of the flesh and the blood. And here's what He tells us. He says, He Himself, that is Jesus, likewise partook of the same things. I'm going to talk to you about that word in a minute because it's a marvelous word. Yeah, the Lord Jesus said, I'm the solution because you're in your flesh and blood, but I'm the one who takes hold of your enfleshment and the life which flows through you. And by virtue of all that I have done for you upon the cross, I am the one who's able to lift you up. Nobody else is. He Himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death He might destroy the one who has power of death, that is the devil. And I love this word, and to deliver and to set free all those who through fear and death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not the angels that He helps, but He helps the offspring of Abraham. Do you mean God is going to stand by His word? Do you mean this is the God of covenant? Do you mean this same Jesus will never change, that he's the same yesterday and today and forever? Do you mean that the same Jesus who loves me and who does everything for me that I cannot do for myself is the same one who will do the same things in Iraq and Iran and in Asia and in China and in Africa and in England and even in jolly old Scotland? Look what he says, therefore, in verse 17, Jesus had to be made like his brothers and sisters. Wow! Wait a minute now. Do you mean that God would love you and me so much in the context of our own human predicament that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, would be made just like me, yet without sin? He would come alongside all of those of us who are trapped in flesh and blood in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of people, because he himself has suffered when tempted. Let there be no mistake, people. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to help all of those of us who ourselves, because of our flesh and blood, are being tempted. You know, there's two pictures presented here. The first picture is a picture of ourselves. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but there is a sixfold description of me here. Here's a picture of the world. Let me just give it to you. Number one, he tells us we are trapped. That's what the word says, talks about our flesh and blood. Do you know you and I are trapped in our humanity? That's why you keep going and doing what you know you ought not to do. Paul made an impassioned plea, said, the good that I would that I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. And Paul, this great man of God who came to know Jesus on the road to Damascus, referred to himself as a wretched man. Do you know how God sees us? God sees us in our wretchedness, and yet despite that, he sees us in our righteousness, because Jesus Christ is our ultimate solution. We become clothed in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to just get a picture of this. We've got a picture of ourselves. We're trapped. We're not only trapped, but we're controlled. Verse 14 tells us about the devil. He's in control. Just watch us. Look how we behave. You know how what you did last night? You have any further questions? You ever tried to explain your behavior? We're not only controlled and trapped, but we are fearful, according to verse 15. There's a massive fear all over the world. We're not only fearful, but we're misguided. Verse 16 here, God's word makes something abundantly clear. In fact, that's the whole presupposition of the whole book of Hebrews, that Jesus is better, yes, even than the angels. Now, back in this day and age, if you want to speak to it contextually, these Hebrews to whom this letter was written, they had a bunch of rabbis, and the rabbis invested the role of sacrifice and intercession into the hands of angels. That's what they did back in Jesus' time. I remember many years ago when I lived in South Louisiana, someone saw something in a field somewhere, in a place called Tickfaw, Louisiana. They said, it's got to be an apparition. They went there, they said, listen, I believe that Mary, the mother of Jesus, appeared in this field, and for the next 2 years, hundreds of thousands of people came and sat and gave money and did all kinds of things because they believed that Mary was there. And what God is saying to us, don't ever become misguided concerning the covenant of God through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary might have been a very fine lady, but she cannot do what Jesus does. The angels might be the best guardians in the world, and I'm grateful for them, and I've preached series on angels, and I certainly believe in them. And moms and dads, I believe that God sends his angels to hover over our children and to take care of them. But I'm going to tell you something. God's word lets us know unequivocally that we are a misguided people. We're on a search. We're looking. We want something to prop us up. We're going to find anything to place our hope in. And the Lord Jesus says, listen, look to me. I am your ultimate solution. trapped and controlled and fearful, misguided, but we're also hopeless in verse 17. We're hopeless because we cannot get to God excepting through Jesus Christ, who is our high priest. There is no mediator between God and man but the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. The curtain has been lifted. When Jesus went to the cross, the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, because the death of Jesus made the way possible for you and me to come into His presence. We're not only hopeless, but we're weak. I love that verse 18 because it talks about me. Temptation, that's why you and I fall all the time. That's why we succumb. But what He's telling us is, greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Now watch this very quickly. That's the picture of ourselves. What this passage is about is fundamentally the picture of Jesus. This is the solution. Here's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our solution. Why? Number one, because He took hold of our humanity. Look at verse 14. Since therefore, as children, we share in flesh and blood, Jesus Christ Himself partook of the same things. That little word, He took hold of our humanity, means that the Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, looks down upon us, and God, in a sense, I'm just demonstrating this, looks down upon us, sent the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, to come down to this earth and to take on Himself our humanity, the enfleshment of Christ. Now watch this, yet without sin. And in so doing, what He did was He came down to us, taking upon Himself our flesh. He reaches out to us, links arms with us, picks us up, and He pulls us together with Him to safety in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. So when God now looks upon us, He sees Jesus over us, in us, through us, covering us. So what the Lord Jesus Christ did, look at this verse here. He Himself likewise partook of flesh. What is flesh? It's this decaying cover. It's this horse that carries my spirit. That's dying. And the blood is the life which will give up, because the wage of sin is death. It's going to stop giving life. And so what Jesus did upon the cross was that He came down, He took upon Himself the covering of our flesh, which means that He too experiences all the challenges, the bruisings, the batterings, the decay of our enfleshment. He knows what it's like for our soul to be carried by this awful horse that carries it, that's getting gray, whose teeth are dropping out, that have to wear glasses, that bends down to pick up something and forgets why it's bending down to pick up whatever it was bending down to pick up to begin with. And all these other things, but not only that, He gave His blood so that His blood and the shedding of His blood can be infused into my blood. And when His blood becomes my blood, I have got eternal blood, and I've got a flesh that never decays, because He's the only solution to my need. Somebody say amen.
You're listening to the voice and the ministry of Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on the Encouraging Word broadcast. And this Bible-based preaching continues in just a moment. Dr. Wilton has a great deal more to come, but he insists I interrupt to remind you that this is just not a presentation. It's a conversation. So we need to hear from you. If God's stirring your life and your heart about some of the ministry you're hearing, let Dr. Don know. His email is don, D-O-N, at theencouragingword.org. That's just Don at theencouragingword.org. He would love to hear from you. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to plug into your life as well to pray for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. I pray you will jot it down or store it in your cell. Know this, if you need a 3 a.m. friend, we're here for you, even at 3 a.m. at 866-899-9673 or online at theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message, One of Us with Dr. Don Wilton.
I think some of you need to stop this big hunt and search for everything. You're looking in the wrong place. You see, when he partook of our humanity, my beloved friends, Jesus took hold of something not related to his own, such as the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not only did he take hold of our humanity, but he destroyed the devil. That's what the word tells us there in verse 14. He rendered Satan powerless against all who are saved. Now, can you imagine that? See, we got a big problem going on in the world now. There's a group called ISIS. We all know about ISIS. I wouldn't be surprised, sadly, in the history books that this group is going to be ranked even far more worse than Hitler and Stalin and all these other people and demon-possessed governments that have pervaded human history. There's a mad scramble now to develop a coalition. It's amazing how all of these nations who are most affected by it will not step up and send troops and do things that are practical. And it's amazing all the different alliances, and we're watching all the shuttles going on and the diplomacy and the statements and all the rank weakness of the United States of America. And we're watching all of these things, and there are people from north and south all trying to rally around to defeat a common enemy, and there seems to be such hopelessness and such helplessness. And there are some people who believe, you know, the way you treat people like that, well, maybe I better not say. To what extent do you use diplomacy to defeat monsters? There is a sense in which when God looked upon the world and this holy Heavenly Father looked down upon us and saw the manner with which you and I are under the control of Satan, he said, I'm not going to get involved in some kind of shuttle diplomacy. I'm not even going to go out and see if anybody could come and help me, for I am the Lord your God, and I decree from the throne of God that I dispatch my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, slain from before the foundation of the world. And this same God who is Jesus Christ our Lord is going to come down, and through his sacrifice upon the cross, he's going to conquer sin and death and the grave. And from that moment on, all who believe in his name will be able to claim complete and total victory because of the cross of Christ Jesus. And you can stand up and you can stand tall because Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and Satan has been defeated once and for all. It's an amazing story. He destroyed the devil. Number three, because he set free all people who are slaves. That little word there in verse 15 means that Christ became our liberator. I love that word. It's so charged. He just set us free. Slavery, one of the most heinous things to contemplate in the history of any nation. One can just imagine the shackles and the captivity of one man and one woman. One can only imagine the ugliness and the morbidity involved in it and the issues related to slavery. And God sees you and me because of our enfleshment, like slaves in bondage to this world in which we live. And he tells us that Jesus Christ is the ultimate solution, for he's the only one who sets the captive free. Number four, because he stands on his word. That's why he's the ultimate solution. I wish I had time to get into verse 16, for surely it's not the angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. A lot of questions that come out of that. the seed of Abraham. In this context, he was speaking to a group of Israelites. He was speaking to Hebrews. He was speaking to people who lived in the land of Palestine. He was taking them back to the day of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And he was sealing the covenant of God concerning his people. And there are deep eschatological questions, but let there be no mistake. There's one thing that is unalterable, and that is this, that the plan that God instituted from before the foundation of the world concerning the salvation of all people in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ is as good for an Israeli as it is for an African, as it is for a Chinaman, as it is for an Iraqi, as it is for a Syrian, as it is for an Asian, and as it is for an American, and as it is for you and me, because there is no other name whereby you and I might be saved other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, I love our church and I love our people. You know, you and I, we have so much fun. We look at it and I've even got some good friends sitting in here that support teams like Alabama. Can you imagine how sorry that is? Sorry, Steve. Oh, and Auburn, sorry, Gay. I mean, it just goes on and on down. What's that about Texas, Eric? You know, we've got all these things. We have a lot of fun with it and all the rest of it. And it goes this way and goes that way and goes the next way and goes the next way. Isn't it just too fantastic that in Jesus Christ, guys, watch this. He leveled the playing field. We're all one. We're on the same page. Somebody say amen. You know what I love about our church? It's about Jesus. Let's never change that. If you believe we ought never to ever change that the only one that matters in this church is Jesus, would you raise your hand? Amen. Let's just stick with Jesus, man. This is not a football game. This is not about politicians. This is not about like trying to run the church like Congress where we'll never get anything done. This is about Jesus. And that's what he's telling me. He's saying, I am the Lord your God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. Somebody say amen in the house of God. Are you listening, America? Why is Jesus the only solution? What is the writer to the Hebrews saying? What's he trying to tell us children? Well, perhaps, and I'll close with this one. Because he satisfies, and he's the only one who satisfies God's requirements. Let me tell you something, folks. That verse 17 is unbelievable. Therefore, Jesus Christ had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every respect, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, watch this, to make propitiation for the sins of the likes of me. That little word means that God, that Jesus Christ has satisfied all of God's requirements, all that is necessary for me as a sinner to have peace with God, for me as a sinner to come back and be readmitted into the presence of God. For me as a sinner to be forgiven of my sin forever. For me as a sinner to know without any doubt that one day that I'm going to be in heaven with all my loved ones and with all who believe in his name forever. You see, my friends, Christ's work of propitiation. It's a big word. Remember, that word means conciliation or satisfaction, is related to his high priestly ministry, his work of propitiation or satisfaction is related to his high priestly ministry. In other words, by partaking of the human nature, by becoming part of our human nature yet without sin, Jesus Christ demonstrated two things. Number one, he demonstrated his faithfulness to God. And number two, he demonstrated his mercy toward mankind. That's what this text says, that he might become merciful and faithful. Now watch this. Here's Jesus, the ultimate solution. He satisfied God's requirements. This is what God required in order that I might come back into his presence and have peace with God, in order that my heart might be full, in order that I might have a full and meaningful life. And by so doing, in the partaking of the human nature of mankind, Jesus demonstrated two things: his faithfulness to God. In other words, by satisfying God's requirement for sin in order to obtain full pardon through forgiveness by his blood. That's demonstrating his faithfulness to God. But he also demonstrated his mercy toward us as mankind. It showed us, it demonstrates to us the loving kindness and the awesome grace of a holy and a righteous God to a people who not even in the very least ever deserve to find peace with God. That's exactly where you are. That's exactly where I am. In our world today, just look at it. Look at it on television. Look at what's coming down from government. Open the newspapers. We as a people desperately need an answer. Jesus, he's the only solution. He's the only one. That's why I want to invite you to give your heart to the Lord Jesus. That's why I present the Lord Jesus to you. I wish that I could tell you, go and make more money or buy a new motor car, get married to the right person. All of these things are very important in life. But you will never have peace in your heart until you turn your heart over to the Lord Jesus. It's time. It's time to put Jesus right back where he needs to be. If you don't know Jesus today, why don't you give your life to him? Trust him as your Savior and Lord. And if you do, if you are a child of the King, you living for him? Is he your all in all? Or are you a drifter? How about it? God never goes to sleep, but time's ticking by, and this is God's appointed hour. Would you do that? Would you come and say yes to Jesus? Would you let us pray with you? Have you heard the Savior say, you, your strength is too small. You cannot do it. Your flesh and blood will not allow it, but Christ will.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart in Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.